On November 14th, Chief William Bratton addressed the media to respond to the release of two videotapes that captured Los Angeles police officers using force while making arrests. Chief Bratton reads a statement and responds to reporters' questions.
Thank you all for coming. I want to address the two videotape police contacts that have come to the public's attention in the past week. Media and public attention has been focused on two separate arrests and non-categorical uses of force by Los Angeles police officers, both of which had portions of the arrest process videotaped by non-involved members of the public. The first incident, occurring in our Hollywood division on August 11, 2006, involved the arrest of William Cadenas by two Los Angeles police officers. Cadenas is currently being held in jail awaiting trial on charges of resisting arrest and gang enhancement arising out of that altercation. Videotaped portions of that arrest have been repeatedly played on various media outlets. The department's Force Investigation Division is in the early stages of criminal and administrative investigations of that arrest and use of force. These investigations are being monitored by the Inspector General and by the Federal Consent Decree Monitor. We'll also cooperate with our colleagues at the FBI. As is their practice in high-profile use of force cases, they have opened a case folder for this incident. The second incident, which was reported in the media today, involved the arrest of Mr. Benjamin Barker on February 8, 2005, on Venice Beach in our Pacific Division. He was initially charged with battery on a police officer, resisting arrest, disturbing the peace, vandalism, and interfering with a lawful business. Both the Inspector General and the Federal Monitor have been monitoring the Venice Beach incident since August 2005, when the Federal Monitor presented a copy of a videotape that was taken at the time of the incident by a non-involved bystander. I was also forwarded a copy of that tape by the attorney representing Mr. Barker. I was first made aware of the video at that time and the incident and ordered the department's Professional Standards Bureau to initiate a dual administrative criminal investigation of that incident. At that time, all of the involved officers were placed on administrative assignment. They were removed from the street immediately. Both the administrative and criminal investigations have been completed. The Los Angeles District Attorney also declined to file any criminal charges against the officers involved in Mr. Barker's arrest. The entire District Attorney's review has been presented in your press kit. Let me read just a portion of the District Attorney's conclusion. The District Attorney looks at whether the arrest use of force was lawful. I review the policies and procedures of the department to see if there are any violations of those policies and procedures. And I quote from his declination report. Examination of the videotape, and I'm talking now about the Venice Beach videotape, which most of you have not seen, with the exception of one media outlet. Examination of the videotape clearly shows officers David Goodman, Victor Ugaz, and Peggy Thusing did not use excessive force upon Benjamin Barker, nor did they assault him under color of authority. The officers showed remarkable restraint and demonstrated professional courtesy toward Barker despite his belligerent, threatening, and combative behavior. Barker's words and actions were resistive and obstructive. He kicked at Officer Thusing, lunged toward Sergeant Barris, and batted Officer Goodman by spitting on him. Barker spat inside the police car and then vandalized it during transportation to the jail. The officers used that degree of force necessary to restrain Barker and maintain custody of him. In addition, we find that Sergeant Burris and Officer Goodman's initial report of Benjamin Barker's position when the OC spray was administered was a product of mistaken recollection and not intentional misstatements of material fact. I am currently reviewing the administrative investigation prior to making a formal determination as to whether any of the officers involved in that incident were in violation of department policies and procedures. I expect to make that decision within the next several days. The videotape of the Venice Beach incident has not been made public, but has been shown to selected members of the media by the defense attorney representing Mr. Barker, the same individual who 5 months after the event forwarded a copy of that to my office. As Chief of Police for the Los Angeles Police Department, I am committed to at all times conducting the department's duties in a transparent manner. I am limited to what I can say sometimes because of prevailing federal and state laws, guidelines, and the advice that I am given by our city attorney. so as to safeguard the legal and constitutional rights of both the public and our department personnel. In addition, while conducting my investigations, I must also adhere to other rulings. Unlike the media, the public, and advocates, who are not precluded from rendering judgments or basing decisions on excerpts or personal opinions, I must first have all the relevant facts at my disposal before I can reach my conclusions. Policing sometimes requires that force be used, but let's put it into perspective. In Graham versus Connor, 1989, the courts have said, when police use force, the force must be objectively reasonable with respect to the facts and circumstances the officer is facing and without 20/20 hindsight. The reasonableness of a use of force must be judged from the perspective of a reasonable officer at the scene, and its calculus must embody an allowance for the fact that police officers are often forced to make split-second decisions about the amount of force necessary in a particular situation. Also, what must be considered are the severity of the crime, the immediacy of the threat to the safety of the officer or others, whether the suspect is resisting arrest or attempting to evade arrest by running away. I reference these decisions and some of their language to reinforce that I cannot make snap judgments based solely on videos or portions of videos. I must engage in a comprehensive and usually frustratingly long multiple investigative process that is strictly governed by the laws I have referenced, and in the case of the LAPD, also by the federal consent decree. There is no government agency in America, none, that has more policies, procedures, guidelines, and independent oversight with respect to use of force than the LAPD. It's something we're proud of. Our investigative process, with all its limitations, has been shaped by events and mistakes of the past and corrected to shape the actions of the present and the future. LAPD policy does permit officers to use less than lethal tools to help them control an uncooperative or aggressive and or combative suspect. Officers are trained to gain initial control of a suspect through advice, warning, or persuasion. Sometimes the use of physical force is necessary. Pepper spray can be used to overcome and control a suspect's uncooperative actions when verbalization is unsuccessful and the officer reasonably believes and can articulate why approaching the suspect would escalate the incident to a higher level of force or result in injury to the officers or the suspect. The primary objective of the application of force is to gain control of a suspect through the use of reasonable force. While police officers are authorized to use force to overcome resistance, the reality is LAPD officers show great restraint. Each year, officers of this department have over 1 million contacts. In 2005, we made nearly 160,000 arrests, yet the number of categorical and non-categorical uses of force have been declining. In 2005, 159,000 arrests, there were 99 reported uses of categorical force. That's force that may be of such a level that it might result in death or serious injury to the suspect. 99 out of 159,000. We also had 1,875 reportable non-categorical uses of force, similar to the two that I'm referencing here now. Again, out of 159,000 arrests, fewer than 2,000 incidents in which officers had to use any form of force that's reportable under our guidelines. We are a department that is committed to going where the truth takes us, no matter how painful or disturbing that truth might be. I would support and encourage that the public and media be vigilant, but also be mindful that we cannot rush to judgment. I will not, and you should not. In summary, both of these cases on videotape may look awful, but finders of fact have determined that they are both lawful. In the case of the Venice Beach incident, the district attorney has reviewed it and found no violation of law. In the case of the Hollywood incident, Mr. Cardenas, in the preliminary hearing, the finder of fact in that circumstance, the commissioner, the judge, also made a determination in very strong, articulated language, which you also have a copy of, that he could find no violations of law by the police officers. So in terms of the area of law breaking, finders of fact have determined that has not occurred. My role now is to move forward with the administrative review. In the case of the Venice Beach incident, Mr. Barker, for the next several days, I'll make my final determination. We have finished those investigations, and I'll be able to make my findings and recommendations. In the case of the gentleman, Mr. Cadenas, in the Hollywood incident, that process is at the beginning of a long process. We anticipate within the next 2 to 3 weeks that we will move our criminal investigation to the district attorney for him to make a final determination as to whether there were any unlawful acts committed by our personnel. And at the same time, as is our practice, our administrative investigation will be moving forward. All of these cases are reviewed, monitored by the Inspector General, the eyes and ears of the Police Commission, and by our federal monitors. At this time, I'd like to bring up for comment before opening up to questions the Inspector General for the Los Angeles Police Department Police Commission. That's Mr. Andre Barat. Andre?
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Andre, A-N-D-R-E. Last name is Barat, B as in boy, I-R-O-T-T-E. I'm the Inspector General for the Los Angeles Police Commission. I did want to make a brief comment about the two incidents that have been referred to by the media over the last couple of days. What I think is important that everyone here needs to know and recognize is that in both instances, our office, the Office of the Inspector General, was notified immediately upon the department being made aware of these incidents and have been monitoring these investigations in real time. What that means is having several meetings with the department to go over the investigation, the status, the next steps. I had an opportunity to review both videotaped incidents. And at first blush, I had a lot of questions. But that's just the beginning of the inquiry. Because my job as the Inspector General is to act as the eyes and ears for this police commission, and among other things, oversee and monitor LAPD investigations and inform the commission as appropriate, inform the commission of the steps the department's taking to deal with these investigations, and that is what has happened with both of these instances. Monitoring the investigation means more than just looking at the videotape. It means reviewing and assessing the complete investigation and providing of that assessment of that investigation as well as the findings for that investigation. And while I cannot go into the details of the investigation because, as Chief Bratton indicated, it is a personnel matter and is confidential, please be assured that an outside set of eyes and ears is looking into the matter, a matter that the Inspector General's office takes very seriously. We will continue to closely monitor this investigation with the same diligence, same thoroughness that we have done in cases such as Stanley Miller and Devin Brown. And we will keep the commissioners informed of this process and this investigation as we move forward. That is my job. That is my duty to the Board of Police Commissioners and to the community at large. Thank you.
Questions?
Chief Bratton, is it accurate to say that you or anyone in your top brass was livid when you first viewed the videotape?
No. Totally inaccurate. Concerned to such an extent that, as is my practice, that we immediately remove the officers from the field. They remained removed from the field for an extended period of time till the investigation could move forward and reach a point in time which I felt comfortable they could be returned to the field. In other words, that any violations that they might have committed did not rise to those that I would dismiss them from the department if they were to be found guilty of those violations. So that characterization is inaccurate. Was I concerned? Certainly was. Was I concerned with the video that you have all been showing repeatedly about the two officers in Hollywood? Certainly. At the same time, I've learned through long experience that I'll wait till my investigators come in with all the facts and circumstances. And as we've already seen, the district attorney has opined very clearly in the Venice Beach incident that he found no unlawful acts. And the first, basically, review of the facts by the presiding judge at the arraignment also had very clear, strong language that you have, that he also did not feel that the officers were in violation of any law, but that rather the individual they were arresting was the person that was violating the law.
Chief Bratton, under the issue of transparency you were saying, if that's the word used, do you think that it would behoove the department when they come upon videotape like this, when you come upon videotape, to make it known to the public rather than waiting for it a year
no.
later?
Not at all. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. We have, as I've already indicated, and you have the records for the last 4 years, I believe, on average, we have about 2,000 cases a year. And again, with an average of about 150 to 160,000 cases, the officers of the LAPD, despite the efforts of many out there to color them as brutal, racist, violent, corrupt, they are not. They're an extraordinary group of men and women who show remarkable restraint in the face of great provocation and danger every day of the week. And you should count yourselves lucky that you have the 9,300 men and women that you do. I certainly do. However, I also understand that among them are some who should not be there. So we take all of these complaints seriously. And to ensure that we are serious, we have an inspector general. We have a federal monitor because of abuses in the past. But in terms of the transparency, in this case here, you had open court processes, transparency. You have a defense attorney in the case of Mr. Barker who had that video supplied to him by an advocacy group that follows my police officers on Venice Beach. And after years of photographs and videotaping, we have this one incident. I have an advocacy group that after years of following my officers in Skid Row has yet to produce a video showing any inappropriate action by my officers. That's because they act day in and day out appropriately. They're an extraordinary good group of men and women. In terms of this issue, again, we will investigate it thoroughly. But to give all that information to you, are any of you going to be interested in 2,000 cases every day if we're doing this every day? You'd be here for about one day, then I guarantee you'd be off doing something else. Unfortunately, as a result of a lawsuit filed by, I believe, the Los Angeles Times that ended up in the Copley decision, the transparency that this department, its police commission, prided itself on was significantly limited, as the Los Angeles Times sought to basically get even more access to the records of the department and were rebuffed because of state law, particularly the Police Officer Bill of Rights. That's unfortunate. I'd like to have much more transparency. Back east of my police departments back there, when I gave oral reprimands, they were published and printed and posted throughout the department, oral reprimands. I'm used to a much more transparent form of interaction than we have here in California, largely because of the Police Officer Bill of Rights. That's unfortunate. It's a world we have to live in. I would like to be in a position to give you much more information. On the issue of the cameras, we are the ones that are advocating putting the cameras in the car. It's something I've advocated. Our union supports it. Finally, our police, city council has supported the money to allow us to put it into five of our areas, and hopefully over the next several years, we'll get those cameras into every car. In addition to those cameras, each officer would then be equipped with an audio mic that works up to about 500 feet from the vehicle. So even though the officers might be out of range of the camera, I would be able to hear what is going on between the officers and the suspects they're engaging in. That's part of the transparency effort that we're going to spend millions of dollars on. I think part of the transparency is I make myself readily available to you. I'm standing here in front of you. I'm not up in my office behind closed doors. We gave you sufficient time today to be aware that this meeting would be held. So we make ourselves available, as does our police commission every Tuesday morning. You know where to find us. You know how to basically, mostly have my cell phone number if I look around this room. And so in terms of transparency, we also have the monitor. How much more transparent do you get than that? We are the most, in a sense, transparent organization in America in many respects, despite the limitations that the laws of California place upon us.
Do you feel that the use of pepper spray is appropriate when somebody spits at an officer?
Under our guidelines, that is deemed uncooperative behavior. If the individual is spitting, in some instances, that might be appropriate. You need to understand our guidelines. Uncooperative behavior, an individual who is being placed under arrest, that pepper spray is an authorized non-lethal use of force. It is not an egregious use of force. There have been some quoted in the papers that would equate that with a shooting the individual. Pepper spray basically inhibits that person for 5 to 15 minutes. It is uncomfortable. It is intended to be uncomfortable because what we're attempting to do is, in fact, reduce the resistance of the suspect. So in dealing with uncooperative behavior, it along with basically certain handholds and other means of detaining the person so we get the handcuffs on is in fact appropriate. Is it appropriate in both of these instances? Well, I'll make my decision on the Venice Beach one within the next several days. In the Cardenas-Hollywood case, we'll have to wait a number of months till we finalize and finish all of our investigations.
Is it appropriate, though, to pepper spray the suspect and shut all the doors of the car?
And particularly when he's known to be a mentally challenged person who's already in custody?
You have the district attorney's report on that matter. I suggest, since you've been late, you might not have read it. So read it, then ask me that question. The district attorney opined quite clearly what the behavior and actions of that individual were. He looked at it from the legal, the lawful standpoint, if you will. I am reviewing it from the policy standpoint. The closing of the door of the vehicle is certainly something that I will review. It indeed, being quite frank with you, when I first viewed this video over a year ago now, was one of the reasons of concern I had, the spraying. And basically, this incident in Venice Beach comes down to the behavior of one officer. Did that officer, in terms of using that pepper spray, was it done to control behavior or was it done in a punitive manner? The case boils down to that, very simply. Was the individual under control, and as such, was the action of the officer inappropriate using the pepper spray? And that's the decision I'll be making within the next several days. No, we have these cases are mind-boggling in their complexity in terms of you get statements from one witness that might not match up with statements from somebody else. We have a criminal process. The district attorney takes a period of time to make his final decision. We have a process in the department that takes a period of time. I am not happy. The police commissioner and the mayor has certainly expressed displeasure at the length of time these cases take. Nobody is happy about that, but at the same time, we're going to take as long as it takes to ensure that we get to a conclusion point where we can do justice to both the suspect in this case and the officers involved.
Chief, how crucial is it when an officer fills out a report that he or she be very detailed in, for example, in the Cardenas case, the number of strikes that were used, as opposed to just saying that distraction strikes were used?
The report that an officer makes in all instances is a summary report that will be fleshed out in court by the district attorney, by the defense, that the officer cannot articulate every movement. To the best of their ability, we try to encourage that. But in the midst of a heated battle and struggle in terms of, I couldn't tell you what I had for lunch, and I was not under any pressure other than standing in front of all of you today, but I could not tell you what I had for lunch today. Pasta, now that I think of it. But in terms of an officer who's in the middle of a struggle as to remembering, did I throw three, did I throw two, did I throw one, in the circumstance in the Venice Beach incident in which the officers, there was a discrepancy between their written report and the video. The district attorney, when he looked at it, interviewed them, looked at the statements, understood that it was just a mistake of recollection in the midst of an incident that they did not remember it accurately or correctly. Just the opposite. We encourage to tell it truthfully to the best of your recollection, and if, in fact, discrepancies are noted, don't end up compounding the problem by starting to change your story. That's the worst thing that can happen. That's the worst mistake they can make. You go with the truth. And if your recollection is, I was in federal court this morning testifying, and on half a dozen occasions I testified, I don't recall. I didn't recall. I have the world's worst memory, and it's something that has bothered me all my life. But I wish that's why I don't tell jokes, because I can't remember the punchline.
Chief, do you think that with these two incidents and all the media attention, that police are being asked to be more like teachers as opposed to policemen?
Fortunately, Los Angeles police officers are police officers. They go toward the problems, and despite all the attention, all the criticism, everybody coming out of the woodwork once again to beat up on them, they're still out there today working very hard, working very consciously to do it constitutionally, compassionately, and consistently. This vigilance, your attention, nothing wrong with it. Because I get to tell a story that I think, by and large, is a story of transparency, a story of process, a story of commitment on the part of our officers, and a story of going where the truth will take us. So I have no problem with all this attention. What I do have a problem is people who, for their own purposes, basically glom onto you to advance their own interests. There are a lot of people who hate this department, and nothing we will do in their lifetime will change that. And every time we have one of these incidents, out they come. Guaranteed, when you go out in front here tonight, there'll be half a dozen of them standing out there basically waiting to get on your cameras and spew their hatred of this department. Nothing we will do. Federal consent decree, monitor, our good actions, unfortunately, are going to change some of that perspective. But for the vast majority of caring, decent people in this city that don't have an axe to grind, we can hopefully use you in terms of getting both sides of the story out to let people then make their own decisions. Let me speak to that. That's a good question, Beth, that in every instance in which use of force, particularly in our more serious uses of force, categorical uses of force, the less than 100 that we have a 72-hour investigation. In other words, the Force Investigation Division, within 72 to 96 hours, makes a presentation to me and the senior command staff of their investigation. And one of the things that they look at very early on is the tactics that were used. Is there something flawed in those tactics that might present a danger to officers if we don't correct it going forward or to the public? Similarly, what I will be looking to do in terms of response to your question is in the non-categorical use of the force where something like pepper spray is used, should we have that type of review by our tactics and training unit to determine, one, is it being used appropriately? Two, is it being used effectively? And three, if not, what can we do to correct it? So will we be looking at that? Yes, and it's part of what we've been doing routinely and with increased efficiency. Captain Rick Webb, who serves our Use of Force Board, has been writing new tactical bulletins for our officers, issuing guidelines. So this is an area that we'll take a look at, certainly. But pepper spray is here to stay. It's make no mistake about that. It is an appropriate tool to deal with uncooperative individuals. It is not physically injurious in terms of other than that 10 to 15 minutes of irritant to the eye. And it's hoped for that that irritant to the eye does not make them more combative in terms of being able to beat up on my officers or resist arrest. It is a tool that is used by the majority of police departments around the United States and has been determined to be a lawful one. Police are authorized to use force. The challenge is, and the requirement is, that they do it lawfully. In this instance, find as a fact, have indicated they did. And the challenge for officers is to do it within our prescribed procedures, and that's where I come in. And this would not be too onerous a burden for the department to engage in that review because the use of pepper spray among those 1,800, I don't have the specific numbers, but it's probably within our ability to review them in such a way to see, is it being used appropriately? In the instance of Venice Beach, my interest there, and let me make that clear, was that pepper spray used to control the behavior of the individual, or was it used punitively? If in my judgment that the individual had ceased to be a threat to the officer and that other tactics could have been used, then I could conceivably fine the officer out of policy. And if the officer used the pepper spray after the threat was over. That whole case really comes down to that issue.
Sounds like you decided he will not be terminated.
Don't have to be. He's already gone.
Oh, that's
right. Makes it easy.
One last question. Frank, this is Frank's last question. He's trying to get this one in. I think that's what some people might be asking. How can a mentally ill man who is sitting be considered
I would suggest, again, take a look at the district attorney's report. It's very detailed and articulate about what the officers were, both citizens were experiencing prior to the arrival of the officers, what officers experienced during their time with the individual. And, again, the point at issue here is, was the behavior of the officer who pepper sprayed the gentleman in the back seat of the car, was that appropriate? And that's a decision I'll make. I'm not making any prejudgments on that. I still have more review over the next several days with my staff on that issue. But the thrust of this Venice Beach issue comes down to that, and also the closing of the door. And I'm sorry? We would, in our department, basically make that finding, put it into his records, and it would reside there. And again, he is left, and so there'd be no action that I can take for violation of department policy. He's no longer a member of the department. I can't speak to that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you all very much.